Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
Okay, Taylor, what have you been up to?
So as those of you who've been listening for a while may know, my son and I do a lot of fishing, and we are heading into kind of like the big bass feeding season. You ever hear about how like animals like build up their fat reserves before winter, before they hibernate? It's like bass do the same thing, which makes them, you know, hungry and easier to catch. So we've been scouting around our town to see if we can find like good local places to do that. We've got a couple of spots that we've been going to, and it's been super fun. I mean, it's like great way to get outside. He loves it. Like, I don't think he likes anything as much as fishing other than maybe screen time.
So that's, you know, pretty good.
To be able to have something that's like draws him in that much is pretty cool. And nowadays it's so easy to level up your game with like YouTube instructional videos. You can learn like everything you need to know about doing this really well, so that, you know, the big thing that a kid's looking for when they go fishing is just catching a fish. And if they catch a cool fish, that's just icing on the cake.
Yeah, I'd like to catch a fish when I go fishing.
Yeah.
I don't think kids are unique in that.
Yeah. Some people appreciate like the art and the craft and don't mind. Like nobody likes to get, they call it getting skunked, right? Because it stinks when you don't catch a fish. So nobody likes to get skunked, but, you know, kids feel like a little bit more acutely. And what kids feel, I think that adults don't feel, is an adult might go out fishing and catch a bunch of like little sunfish and feel disappointed because they didn't get like a big bass or a pike or something. But kids don't care as long as they got a fish on the hook. So
totally understand.
Yeah. So this month we're talking about going back to school, getting your life organized again after a busy summer. And this week we're talking about refreshing your home office space. So, you know, let's just start with, how do you reclaim your office space after a summer of kids, travel, et cetera, where like a lot of activities that were not your day job happened maybe in your office or at your desk? And maybe you want me to take this one because I feel like this is not really a problem for you.
Sure. You start and I'll jump in.
My office is actually in my living room and I like it that way. I like to be in the mix. I like to know what my kids are up to. I'm not really bothered by noise and distractions. But the downside of that is a lot of my kids' stuff kind of migrates to my desk. So, you know, there's the daily, like just trying to get that cleaned up. But towards the end of the summer, yeah, like, you know, I kind of take a look at my desk, you know, what have I got on there that's kind of just needs a decision to be made and get that gone, right? To get it out of there. And then, you know, I'll take, you know, like freshen up some things, like, is my desk really the right place to be storing certain things, or like have certain things, can certain things go downstairs to the filing cabinet? Typical renewal stuff that we've been talking about.
Yeah. My office looks very different than yours.
You do a lot of stuff on paper still. We're working on it, right?
Right. So just for clarification, I'm a paper person.
Yeah.
And Taylor is a digital person. So it makes his desk look a lot different than my desk.
Right.
And my office. I finally moved my office to the third floor, mm-hmm. where it doesn't have to be clean and tidy. I currently have multiple workspaces mm-hmm. that have papers on them.
Can I just like paint the picture of your office? So imagine a big desk, like a big wraparound desk. That is Paige's workstation, right?
Correct.
Which often has, you know, multiple listings going on it. So like, you know, plot plans, listing agreements, septic design. It's like all the stuff that goes with a listing. And it's all in little stacks for each listing. But then you also have behind you just a lot of filing cabinets that are all of the old things, right? So, you know, to your credit, if you ever need something, it's at hand and it's just different. And whereas my desk, I think my total storage space in my desk is about the size of like one drawer.
Yeah. But I realized yesterday as I was cleaning up my office that I needed to just, like, I have files of houses that I've sold over the years mm-hmm. still. And I decided right. that I probably don't need those anymore.
Right. Off to the shredder.
Off to the shredder. So yeah. anyway.
Got it.
I think the big thing is you have to, coming back from the summer, mm-hmm. it's great to go into an office or like a mudroom we were talking about. Those are the spaces that you see right out of the gate that need to be fixed.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes they say you don't see the bad things in a house unless you leave for a vacation and come back and you walk to the front door and you're like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. that wall is filthy dirty or it needs to be painted.
Right.
You know, so sometimes coming back
right.
and looking at a space that you haven't been in daily mm-hmm. makes you a little bit more objective mm-hmm. and you can be more critical.
Totally.
And I've decided that it's going to be trash bags for good in my office because I've got way too much out yeah. there that does not need to be there.
In terms of like maintaining whatever it is you achieve in your office renewal process, my main strategy is I sort of like put stuff in my way until it's done. So like if I've got, you know, I do have some paper, right? And if I've got like a document that I've got to get signed, it sits on my desk until it's signed, right? And that way it's just there annoying the heck out of me. And it motivates me to get it done and get it done quickly. I don't know if you've got any tricks like that to keep your home office clean and staying productive.
Well, I think the thing that you have to acknowledge with your office is how you're going to use it, mm-hmm. right? COVID has changed how people use their home offices. Mm-hmm. People used to go to work 5 days a week and their office was, you know, maybe a 2-hour event each week,
right.
paying bills or catching up on things.
Right.
It is no longer that. It has become a vibrant part of your daily life.
Totally.
And so I find that it's like having a system where you put home things. So mm-hmm. things I need to get done for the house.
Right.
Or I might be taking a trip, so I have a little section for paperwork on that.
Right.
Or organization of that. I might have my checkbook someplace mm-hmm. else because I still do write some checks.
Mm-hmm.
And then with real estate, the biggest challenge we have is having multiple listings, and I create books on each house so that everybody can have access mm-hmm. to the information. So I systematically, at the end of the summer, mm-hmm. stack all the ones that have been completed and just have out there the ones that I am working on. Mm-hmm. I then make a stack of paperwork that needs to be filed, things I can't lose, like my passport. Mm-hmm. So I identify certain areas for mm-hmm. certain types of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I no longer use my company office mm-hmm. because everything with COVID, I brought home to my home office.
Right.
So marketing's there, yeah. listing information. So I think you just have to put different piles of items mm-hmm. in different places and identify what you need to do for each one.
So we're going to take a quick break and then we will come back to the mailbag.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
Paige, what's something you do that makes you a good agent that people might not realize? Like, I feel like this is a common issue for real estate agents. We do a lot of work that is not visible. Like, and that's where a lot of the hard stuff gets done.
I think one of the things that people don't understand about getting their house ready is how much work I do beforehand in making sure I understand as much as I possibly can about the property,
mm-hmm.
town records, GIS maps, septic systems, square footage in downtown buildings, mm-hmm. other comps in the buildings. I don't go into a property unless I've done some due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people don't choose to do that, which is a different style. And I think the other thing that people have to understand is a good agent is someone that has good working relationships with the rest of the brokerage community.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is very tough sometimes to get to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And you have to know who you're up against mm-hmm. on the other side and how they get things done mm-hmm. and adapt to their style.
The relationships thing and having that track record matters. I was talking to somebody about, you know, we looked at two houses and I knew both the listing agents. And I was like, all right, so this guy, you know, this guy over here, he's a straight shooter. He just wants the most money possible. And so we basically make an opening offer. He'll make a counter and then we'll make a counter. And if that's the, you know, and that's going to be the end of it. And then this other person there, this other person, she sort of wants to have like debate club about yeah. the price. And so we're going to make our offer. She's going to call me and give me all the reasons why I'm totally wrong and should, you know, and should pay the list price. And then I have to tell you, and then we got to go back and say like, okay, well, here's our offer anyways.
Yeah.
So,
but there, you know, that's exactly the answer.
Right.
So that is a good agent mm-hmm. who can adapt their styles mm-hmm. to the brokerage community. And mm-hmm. sellers and buyers don't understand that because they don't know that about the different brokers.
Right.
So those two things, being prepared, doing your due diligence, and understanding the brokerage community are really important to be a good agent.
All right. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.